irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so we're live on the air. 323-203-0815 is the call-in number. And you get to talk to Dr. Allen. In the meantime, tell me what you did, what classes you did over the last weekend.
Well, last weekend, dreams, you know, and I love it because I incorporated the cosmos, which is yin and yang, and I combine that with the I Ching of inner spiritual connectedness, which is the total package for relationships. And it was the first time I had really put it together. So I liked it.
Amazing. Hannah, I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. You have a question?
Yes, I do. I'm calling. And by the way, hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Hi. I'm calling because I basically ended my relationship, or at least I basically, this is what happened. I told my boyfriend, we were engaged in a verbal exchange, and I told him that I no longer wanted to be in a relationship where I was accused of cheating and looking to be with someone else and lying. So I guess I'm just wondering if I behave correctly in that moment and not rashly.
I want you to read. Can you write it down?
Yes, I'm writing it down. You said an inner
love,
love and
an
inner connection
based on the principles drawn from the I Ching, which is the energy between souls. You know, did you ever think about what soulmates are? It's the masculine soul in a man and the feminine soul in a woman coming together. Now, gay people, they too may be, even if they're in the same bodies, the energy of their soul can still be more powerful a connection than the physical soul of taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. This is by Carol K. Anthony, second edition. So I did that last week, and this week I'm going to do self-esteem enhancement, and I'm going to be doing the Myers-Briggs temperament test, which is a wonderful test that's used by very good companies to determine the temperamental capability and capacity for human beings to work together, and especially through their problems. So those are what I did last week and what I'm doing this week. I started 9, I ended 4. We have an hour off for lunch, and I like it, and they seem to like it, and it's 6 people, small group, very intimate.
Yes, I've been
here. Back to your problem. Do you have cosmic factual evidence that shows that your man is unfaithful?
No, it's not that he's unfaithful to me. He accused me of being unfaithful to him.
Does he have any evidence?
No, he doesn't have any evidence, and there is no evidence. And this has happened so many times. I just am to the point where I feel I can't take it anymore.
Well, have you ever heard him talk about his mother and father?
Yes.
And what did he say about them, pray tell?
His mother and father, well, his mother found out that his father was a married man, and that ended the relationship when she discovered that. And then his father stopped coming around when he was young, stopped visiting. And he did not have a relationship with his father again until he was a grown man. I think he was over 20 years old.
So can you see that his script was that people that you believe should be trustworthy may not be trustworthy, and they copy them. They pick it up. They get scripted by it. So do you defend yourself with him, or do you say you have every right to believe that? I'd be interested in any evidence that you have to prove it. But if you don't need evidence, then there's no way that we can be together, because I know who I am. But you obviously don't know who I am.
No, I didn't say that. The last incident that occurred, actually, we were at church, and he said that I was making eye contact with another man, and I told him that, you know, he had every right to think that I was making eye contact with another man, but I was not. I said, you know, I'm sure I looked at him or whatever, but I guess I feel attacked, because even if I feel like I'm put into a corner and there's no way for me to get out of it, like no matter what
except to know who you are and to walk away.
Okay. So that's basically what I did, because I just told him, I said, he had asked me, did I still want to be in this relationship? And I said, well, I want the relationship, but I don't want to be accused anymore.
Beautiful, beautiful. You gave him an opportunity to deal in reality, not fantasy land. But you can't undo a bad script by defending yourself. You have to say, you have every right to not believe that I'm trustworthy. I know who I am, and I know what I did. So feel free to leave me.
Oh, okay. I guess I could have worded it that way. Okay.
But you can't beg. You can't grovel. You can't fight. You can only accept him or reject him. But please don't tolerate him.
Okay. And that's why I told him I just couldn't do it anymore. And I guess now I'm just dealing with the, and it just happened a couple of days ago. So I'm just feeling, I don't know, I guess like a piece of me is gone. But at the same time, I have a lot of fear of receiving those kinds of statements and comments from him again. It really feels awful and hurtful and upsetting.
Are you going to write a hi-bye letter?
I don't know. I don't even think I want to do that. I think I just...
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to let him do what he's doing, and the price tag is to lose you.
Yeah.
But the prize for you is that you're loving yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
In his family, he was never raised to be an individual. He was raised to be a clone, that everybody on the planet is evil, and you find out what their evil is, and you accuse them. You see? So he's a disabled man. And there's a wonderful book, Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner. That would be good for him, but you don't have to do anything about it. It's just he's got to study himself and decide that he's willing to learn how to be intimate with someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi, you're Hello. Live on the air with Dr.
Hi.
Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. First of all, I have a success story to tell you.
Oh, good.
I've been using your communication skills. Well, your communication has really saved my relationship several times. And recently, my girlfriend and I have, I'm a man dating a narcissistic woman, and I'm also a narcissist myself. So we had an argument last Monday, and she walked out. And then Tuesday, she came back, and we talked for a couple hours, and I found out that she was telling me she doesn't like when I yell at her. She doesn't like when I raise my voice. And, you know, I get angry because she gets angry too. And then she doesn't want it to escalate anymore. And she doesn't understand timeout. So she understands if she leaves the situation, it's the same thing. But my question is to you, I have a couple questions, but my first question is about my raising of my voice during an argument. I don't do it intentionally, but is that like an anger issue that I need to work on?
Well, let me say this. 90% of all communication is nonverbal. It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions. 90% of all communication is expressed through body language. Only 10% of communication has to do with words. I have chosen as a transactional analyst to specialize in manipulating words because I know that if you manipulate words, the tones, the gestures, the postures, the facial expressions follow suit. So, for example, if you were to always use the tools, honey, you have every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. But I think I want you not to do it because it upsets me, and then I get emotional. So if you want me to get emotional with my body language, please disrespect me because that will do it. And then you can run away from me and blame me. But if you want to get along with me, here's what I want you to do. Tell me I have a right to say, think, be, feel, do, whatever. But you're uncomfortable. And do I want to help you be comfortable? And when you talk to me that way, I feel respected. So I'm more willing to use words to channel my feelings and my emotions. So there is no way to negotiate feelings and emotions without going to the top of the ladder. The only thing you can do are those tools. You have every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. But I'm uncomfortable. Okay. I want it stopped. You see?
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know I could tell her with that.
Oh, yeah. And you can also say, honey, I sense by the tone of your voice that you're afraid of me and that you're upset with me. Am I right? Yes. What can I do to help you and I feel better? Stop yelling. Okay. Then are you willing to not disrespect me into yelling?
Okay.
Use the words.
Got it.
So that she can come off of her mat.
Use the words, okay.
Use those five tools. Never ask her what she thinks and wants unless it's her birthday. When you want to bitch and moan and teach and preach, make an appointment. Make an appointment and make her comfortable with what she's doing, but negotiate a change. Third, when she irritates you, once again, you have every right to do that, but it causes me to feel disrespected, and my voice has a tendency to go up then. If you want me not to go up with my voice, then please use these tools to keep us level. And of course, there's the old timeout, the old referee symbol with your hands that will tell her, what are you doing? I'm showing you that I'm upset about something you're saying or doing. Do you want to know what it is? Negotiate with her. You see, you can't fight a person out of their emotions. You have to accept their emotions and tell them the price for them.
Right. Okay. Sounds easy, but it's probably going to be difficult. I'll probably have to try it a couple times to get it right.
Why not?
I'm going to work on it.
I want you to do that.
Well,
do
I have everything
else to ask.
Yes, I do. I have a question in regards to a person not telling the truth or telling a different version of the truth, like sort of like lying. Is that something that you just deal with in a relationship, or am I being like insecure? Am I insecure about it if I think like she's not telling me the truth all the time? She's telling me lies and stuff? Or is it just something
you
where
know
like
somebody
it's
in
normal.
Her family taught her to do that? Who did it? Have you met her mom and dad?
She lives with her father, and her father and mother are separated or divorced. Her sister lives with her mother, and she lives with her father.
And has she said anything that sounds like they lie?
I know that one of her friends, a mutual acquaintance of ours, is a pretty big liar.
Right.
I don't know if it's like part of their culture or neighborhood.
Their script. When people are scripted to lie, they have to be dealt with in a positive way. My darling, you have every right to believe that set of ideas that you've got, but the evidence is, and I believe in evidence, you know, pictures, data, records, things. Are you sure she's lying? Or simply expressing her opinion about what's happening? lying is a deliberate intention.
I'm not 100% sure. Like, some things she talked about, like, she had a dentist appointment, and then that day she said, oh, no, they wouldn't give me an appointment. So stuff like that is confusing. It's not exactly
that's
I communicate. But
well, somebody's punished her. Someone has punished her for not doing it their way. See, there's only three ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear. She's not doing that. The second one, seduce with shame and guilt. She's doing that one. But she's never learned, apparently, how to negotiate with reality. So the way you talk to her is, you have every right to believe that I can accept the fact that you said you had a dentist appointment and then you said you didn't have one. But what it causes confusion as to what is the truth and what isn't the truth if you don't have evidence. So when you suspicion that she's not telling the truth, what evidence does she have? Did she tell you something? What is she doing that's going against reality?
I don't know. She just like changes her story. And I think it's mostly just me. I wonder if it's just sometimes it's just me being paranoid or suspicious when I shouldn't be. I'm not sure.
If you've been experiencing her as a liar, then you have to decide to accept her as a liar or reject her as a liar. But it sounds like you're tempted to tolerate her. Is she turning you off to such a bad degree that you can't communicate with her?
No, absolutely not. We definitely communicate very well. We have good chemistry. And she's, you know, she definitely says that she loves me. I know she's bonded to me. And, I want to stay with her.
Do you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer when she lies? Does she do things that are immoral, unethical, or illegal?
Yes, I know. To be more communicative with me. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you've got as one of your coaching students, that's wonderful. Because when she tells the truth, it means she feels safe.
Yeah.
So
Alan, and
if she's worth it, she's worth it. If she isn't, she isn't.
Okay, thank you.
About 7 calls waiting on the line, and so let's go ahead.
Okay,
I'm going to tell our switchboard that we're ready for another call. Awesome. And I want to thank Ronan. He always takes such good care of us and gets us the calls in and takes care of our technical difficulties, which we had earlier today, but we're good now. So,
hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Awesome. Yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hey.
Hello.
I have a question. Yes. So a friend of mine who's also been to one of your classes, and we had this friendly argument the other day, and I wanted to tell you about it and hear your thoughts. So I've been practicing your ways for now almost 3 years, and it's worked great for me. And my question is this. So a few months ago, when I still had a boyfriend, he invited me over for dinner. He said, I would love to make you dinner. Would you like to come over and have dinner? I'm like, yes, that would be wonderful. So I came in, and he was making dinner. So I just sat by the kitchen at the bar area, and I just watched him make dinner and like talk to him. I didn't offer to help because he didn't ask me, and I'm being feminine. I'm a recovering male, so now I'm probably almost back to being normal. And towards the end, he said, gosh, I can't believe you didn't offer help. I'm like, well, you didn't ask me. He was like, but why wouldn't you offer? I'm like, because you didn't ask me. It's your thing. It's your dinner. Like, why would I ask? So my friend thought that I was wrong. She was like, what's wrong with offering to help? I'm like, well, I think, and so does Dr. Allen, is when you're female, you're being taken care of. And I always kind of keep telling myself what you once said. A mother offers, a woman is asked. So what are your thoughts on this? Was I correct in this situation?
Well, how did you offer the help? Did you say, if you need any help, please ask me? Or did you say, hey, I have an idea that would help you? Which did you do? Were you a woman or were you a mother?
I was a woman. I didn't offer to help at all. I didn't offer to help. He was very surprised at that towards the end of it when we already ate. And he was like, I can't believe you didn't offer to help with dinner. I'm like, but why would I? You didn't ask me. And then later I was like, if you ever need help, you can ask me.
But you also, what he was mad at, you didn't say, if you need any help, ask, did you?
Well, I said in the future, if you need help, you can ask me. But if you don't ask
All
me,
right,
I'm not going to offer.
That was after you didn't offer.
Correct, yes.
See, you know the difference between mothering. Mothering is giving the idea. I think it would help you a lot if you would do this and that and thus and so. That's mothering.
Mm-hmm.
Being a woman is, if you need any help doing that, please feel free to ask me if I can do it. I might not, but I'll try.
Yeah, that's what basically that what I said, because I saw that he was upset that I didn't offer. And I said, well, in the future, if you want me to help you, you can ask me.
You know what? I love that. I love that. I love that. I love it. So he's mothering.
I think that's what he wanted. But my friend also mothers a lot. I noticed this a lot with her.
And
she thought
that's correct. She has a right to make a mistake.
Oh, totally, yeah. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to call Dr. Allen about it because I'm pretty sure I was just being feminine. But I think she wants to also recover. And I just noticed that she offers a lot. To people, a lot, and I don't anymore.
I understand that, but she doesn't realize that overgiving women are cancer trainees.
I know.
It drains the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And men that don't ask for what they want get so angry that their energy is hurt by not taking
mm-hmm.
care of themselves. When they blame me, you didn't ask to serve me, or you didn't do for me, whatever. And that's where being a woman, if you need help, ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason why we've talked about this, you know, the reason why me and him broke up was because he kept pushing me into a male role always, and I wouldn't do it.
I understand that. That's not an unusual thing.
No, it's not.
But that doesn't mean
you
have to buy into it.
No, I don't. Never.
You have a right.
And
you have a right to be a woman.
Absolutely. And now I can. It'll be 3 years in April since I started doing this seriously. So it's so wonderful.
Okay,
good. Another thing. Yeah, and another thing I'm noticing, I'm now looking, and until April, I've decided to be a career woman just to fix something at work, but then after that, I'm going out to look again. But I'm noticing, like, even in non-romantic ways, men are starting to help me more. And I don't ask them. They just like, oh, let me do this, let me do this. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. It's awesome. I love it.
That's because they pick up the fact that you don't superimpose mothering on them. A man's job is to get away from mother, not, and a woman's job is to attract a man by being receptive, available to receive, and respecting of him.
Yeah. I even noticed it, and this, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I even noticed that my friends, I have a lot of girlfriends that are men, actually, but I notice how their husbands change around me even sometimes. Like, they're nice.
Oh, that's good.
Can you imagine? I'm not, obviously I'm not flirting with them. I'm not doing anything. They're just not even friends. I mean, I just know these guys well. I'm not friends with any of them. But one of my mutual friends, she's telling me, she's also very male, and she's telling me how she's always fighting with our mutual friend's husband, and she's telling me about him. I was like, look, this person that you're telling me about, I have never met him. And she almost angrily told me, she's like, well, yeah, but men change around you. I'm like, whoa, what is this? I'm like, well, there's a reason for it. If they're changing, they're nicer to me because I'm not, you know, I'm not cutting their balls off every time I open their my mouth. So
yeah.
It's working in many, many different ways. So thank you, Dr. Allen. This is exciting for me.
It is. I find it very good. I love being a transactional analyst.
Yeah.
They become words. Beware of your words. They become habits. Beware of your habits. They become your character. Beware of your character. It becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being a healthy man or a healthy woman, and in every relationship, especially the loving one.
True.
Awesome.
That's
thanks, caller.
Thank you.
All right. We've got more calls waiting. So let's go ahead and get another caller on the line. And I want to remind everybody, Dr. Allen does private telephone appointments, and you can get that info@drpatallen.com. Send an email. Or call in. Caller, are you with us? You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello, I do. I'm calling. I was the gal who called about, I had a guy who that I had intercourse with, and then he went away to Antarctica for like 6 months, and said he would stay in touch, but really sort of did off and on, but not really very regularly. And then he didn't really for the last 2 months. And then I was going to write a hi bye letter. And then he wrote me and said hello. And then I basically said hello back, and we had an exchange. And then that was the last time I spoke with him. And I had expressed to him that I had made a mistake in having intercourse with him, and, you know, that he thought that he was a mistake, and yada yada. So that was the story. I had my birthday last week.
How long has it been since you've heard from him at all?
So that was the last exchange was over text messaging, and that was 10 days, like 2 weeks ago.
But that's only 2 weeks. That isn't the end. Their decision.
Right. My question is, he wrote
What's
me happy
question?
Birthday. And a happy birthday.
Did you
message,
send him a thank you for that?
I did. I said, thank you very much. I hope you're doing well. And that was the last
That's
time.
That's very nice. But when
And I didn't, I tried
is,
not to.
Now, that was 2 weeks ago?
So that was actually last week, or this on Monday.
Then you only have a week of separation. He's not gone.
So that starts the 8 weeks over again now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know if it was because of the ritual high bi-letter, and it's just really difficult because I did have intercourse with him, which was my mistake, and I told him
I understand. When a man picks your cherry, and you know what that means, when he has casual sex with you, it's like picking your cherry, and the challenge of falling in love is difficult to do. You have to know each other to love each other. Casual sex does not help you fall in love. I know it releases tension, and it's pleasant, but it does not help you build a friendship.
I said it really messed me up, and I've been following your rules so closely, and I messed up on that. And to all the callers out there,
I understand
it's a bad idea.
That.
Don't
you're
do
not,
it.
You're not perfect. You're not perfect. Please learn from the lesson. Now, prostitutes make a living having sex. And if you'll know that prostitutes don't kiss their clients because kissing is more intimate than intercourse.
Oh, interesting.
Do you understand? So,
yes.
If you want to make love to a man, act like a lady, not like a casual sex partner. But you've already learned that lesson. Now you've got a week of sobriety. He's reached out to you. And if you're smart, you will cause him to come back until he wants to be in love with you, if that's where he's at.
Right. Well, I keep having all these dreams about him constantly, and it's just I'm trying to not think about it, but it's really difficult not to keep
reactivating that energy. That. You bonded to him in your casual sexual event, but now you're building a friendship.
Well, I mean, I also wonder when, and I know I follow your rule as far as not contacting, no contact, but I always wonder if they perceive it as that I'm not interested and that I'm blowing them off, because I've heard that from guys.
You already gave him a ritual, a signal, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What was it for? What holiday? What birthday? What was it for?
I gave him one at Christmas, and then he responded and said thank you and said back to me, and then I didn't hear from him for 2 months.
Now, remember, the ritual tells him you're not mad, but he's got to decide if he wants to have you as a casual sex partner or as a friend with perks or a girlfriend with future. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So your mistake, if you learn from your mistake, will help you set up a new system, especially if you and he have good chemistry.
Yeah. Well, he definitely did. That's the only that's why I had intercourse with him, but I regret that now.
No, you had intercourse with him because you're a little bunny rabbit and you wanted to play physically. You were being a little animal.
Right.
You've got
I want a duty date again, but I'm also feeling kind of burnt from that. I'm just ugh, I'm kind of feeling narcissistic right now, but I know it would help me to date, but I just have
I want you to respond to his reaching out until you get the lesson of this relationship, which is nothing or something.
Well, I've already learned a lot from it, but it's definitely not, it's been a bit painful.
Honey, if he reaches out to you, it signals him and you that he's still interested in you And your best bet is to let it play out.
Okay. I will just be patient and see what happens.
Passive patience and vulnerable. Passive. Don't chase him. Don't give to him. Patient. Let him work it through his system. And vulnerable to his leadership, which means answer his phone calls like a lady.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do that, so I will if he does. But I was very angry.
Reach out.
Now I'm not. Now I'm not. Now I'm
good,
okay with
good,
it.
Good.
So I'm just gonna wait. So
good.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you, caller. Bye bye. Okay, let's see. I think we have time for another call. Ronan, do we have time for another one? One more, all right. Perfect, thank you. All right, we've got time for one more call.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh my God, yes, thank you. Let me pull my car over. Thank you so much. I have a left-handed son, and he's begun
asking.
And we've spoken before, Dr. Pat. Hi.
Hi.
My left-handed son is 10 years old, and he's been asking me questions about girls.
I've got news for you. 10 years old is when a young man is starting to become a man.
Okay, thank God, because I was really worried. I'm like, this is awfully soon. And I was freaked out.
No.
So there's
you
a girl.
Must start communicating with him like he's a gentleman.
Okay. And I referred to him as a gentleman, and he holds the door open. And I really use the language that you teach about with the masculine and the feminine. However, he has begun to talk to me about his feelings for this girl. And, of course, I want to make sure to listen to his feelings, et cetera. And I don't want to take that away because he is asking me questions. Why do girls pretend? Because like this girl who likes him now, she pretends as if she doesn't. But now it might be that she doesn't. And this is all, oh, so interesting in the world of 10-year-olds. But the truth of the matter is these feelings he's having are very real. And he's really upset. And he said, I want to look at her, mommy. But she asked me. She sent a friend of hers to tell me not to look at her because they're in the same class. And he said, I said, do you want to look at her? He said, yes, she has a pretty face and I want to look at her. And he was crying. And I just, you know, I just held him and I listened to him.
What is
and I left
the biggest sex organ for a man?
A penis. Nope.
No.
The eyes.
The eyes, of course.
A man
right?
wants. A man wants, in fact, they know what they like, congruency. Yeah. A man wants to give his babies to healthy women to carry on his gene pool. So women pick with their ears. Oh, that's your house, that's your car, that's your job. Because women want to be able to stay with their kids and have somebody help them pay for it. So Harvard did a big study. And they found that men mate and marry for sensual and sexual security 2/3 of the time. 1/3, they're with rich women that they can be financially safe with. 2/3 of women are with, or in the test they came up, 2/3 of women want status, Mrs. So-and-so, and financial stability so that they can raise their babies in a safe place. 1/3 of women want sexual and sensual gratification. They're called cougars.
Right.
And they like toy boys. So the book on this is The Evolution of Desire by David Buss. The Evolution of Desire by David Buss.
Okay.
Okay? So your son is starting to ask you and talk to you, and keep it simple. Don't get complicated.
Okay.
You see?
Okay. So when he says things like, did you ever, what did you do when you liked a boy in fourth grade? I tried to tell him, you know, without getting too deep, but I could see he was trying to get an answer as to what to do and how to deal with this little girl. And I just don't know
remember,
what to do.
Gentlemen do not touch women without permission.
Yeah, this he knows.
Just teach him the law.
Okay. Well, he also is starting to talk to me about...
Where is he at with his dad? Does he have a dad that's active?
Yes. He has a dad to talk to, but he wants to talk to me. I'm the person that he talks to mostly when it comes to stuff like this. And I told his father...
All right. Okay.
But
always refer him over to ask your dad too.
Yes, I did. And his dad said, oh yes, son, we'll go. And because he's also having feelings that are causing him to have a physical reaction. And,
right.
You know, and it's, that startled me too. I don't know. I just thought 10 years old. Oh my God.
No, 10 years old. When do kids start playing and thinking sexual? Nine years old.
Okay. Okay. All yeah,
right.
And I certainly don't shame him or anything about it. And he says,
no,
when
no,
I
no.
I never do. I just say, yeah. That, and he said, when I see this girl, you know, and then he mentions the physical reaction that he has. And I said, that's a natural response. And, you know, we keep
that's
our hands.
Right.
And
good.
And that's it. Okay, so we're on the right track. But what about the feelings and the thoughts? Because he combines them when he talks to me, and I don't want to negate his feelings, and I also want to talk to him like a masculine man.
Then you tell him you have a right to your feelings, but what you do about them is a responsibility.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you so much, caller. Please keep us updated. Dr. Allen, real quick before we head out, what you got to say?
I was going to say, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. Everybody, www.drpatallen.com. Private appointments, 15 minutes to as long as you need. You can reach out at info@drpatallen.com for that. Sign up for our seminars, and you know where to find them. www.wantistore.com. We love you. We'll be back next week. Until then, be safe.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.